Earlier this week, U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin traveled to Israel to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Benny Gantz. The visit was a signal from the Biden administration that Israel remains an important ally for the United States. But Secretary Austin's trip also came at a chaotic moment in Israeli politics. Prime Minister Netanyahu is currently attempting to form a majority coalition in the country's parliament. This after the fourth Israeli election in the past 2 years once again ended without a clear path forward for any of Israel's leading political parties. Meanwhile, Netanyahu is also currently on trial in a corruption case that could drag on for years. And the U.S. and Israel's conflicting approaches to policy with Iran were underscored in recent days. This week, Israel was reportedly responsible for an attack at a key nuclear site in Iran, and that attack took place as U.S. negotiators are attempting to re-enter the Iran nuclear deal. Joining me now is Noga Tarnopolsky, a freelance reporter based in Israel. Noga, always great to have you on.
Wonderful to hear you, Tanzina.
So as we mentioned, Secretary Austin's visit to Israel came at the same time as the attack on an Iranian nuclear site that Israel is allegedly believed to be responsible for. How did the timing of that color Austin's visit to Israel?
I have to say, I think it kind of overshadowed the visit because Netanyahu was, instead of being able to show off in a way that he was meeting with the new U.S. Secretary of Defense, he was forced to scramble, his office was, to explain why a top Israeli official had leaked the news to the New York Times and thus endangered this entire operation in Iran, which is a massive intelligence operation that clearly had been in the works for more than a year, let's say. And so I would say it overshadowed it. Austin, from the very beginning, appeared to want to make this a working visit. That was my impression. He made no statements that could even appear quotable. He met with the defense minister and spent a lot of time, I think, reinforcing the behind-the-scenes Israeli-American military and intelligence ties, and that was more or less it.
We know that President Obama and Netanyahu had a, I would say, distant relationship, very different from the relationship that President Trump and Netanyahu had. What do you see President Biden's relationship with Netanyahu sort of turning out to be based on what we know so far?
I think that what we see so far in the first 100 days is President Biden being really very shrewd and using the experience that he accrued as Obama's vice president and as the longtime head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to basically keep relations with Israel good, but keep Benjamin Netanyahu in a bind in terms of his ability to shake things up. And given the anomalous relations that existed between Israel and the United States, both under Obama, where relations were personally terrible, and under Trump, where it was sort of, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back relationship, it's really interesting to observe what appears to me right now, you know, the Biden administration's cleverness. And I have to say, the new Undersecretary of State for Israel and Palestine is a man called Hadi Amer, who we've barely heard anything about, but he has the reputation of being very knowledgeable, very shrewd, and very behind the scenes. And I suspect that we're seeing his handling of the matter here.
We also know that the Biden administration announced last week that it will reinstate $200 million in aid to Palestinians that was cut by former President Donald Trump. What does that signal about the U.S. approach to Israel and Palestine compared to what it was like under the Trump administration?
Paradoxically, I think we have to see this as a parallel to the Austin visit, meaning the Biden administration is trying to reset relations with Israel to what should be, from the U.S. point of view, an acceptable norm. And what that means, on the one hand, is that the defense secretary comes to Israel, you know, when he's going also to Germany to visit NATO and to the U.K., basically the most powerful, putting Israel in the cadre of the United States' most important allies. So on the one hand, reinforcing that, and on the other hand, telling Israel, we are going to act vis-a-vis the Palestinians and also vis-a-vis the Iran deal as we see fit for U.S. interests. And the Biden administration made it very clear that Israel is more than invited to sit at the table, more than invited to give its opinion. In fact, the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, personally invited the Israeli National Security Advisor to come specifically to bring the Israeli point of view to the Iran situation. And yet that also kind of muscles Netanyahu in, because he's not in a position to attack Biden supposedly for being another Obama when the Secretary of Defense is here or the Secretary of State.
And not only that, but Netanyahu's own political future is in question. I mean, he is in a trial right now, and there are still questions about his own political future. So how would that play out with Biden?
Well, how that plays out is actually that we should pay attention to how Biden is managing, I would have to say, Netanyahu. Netanyahu is in a desperate situation. He's on trial for severe crimes. He has failed to win an election four times in a row. And in any other parliamentary democracy, his party would have kicked him out after four failures and elected a new leader. The Likud, Netanyahu's party, has shrunk and has become almost a personality cult. And so that's not happening. And Israel's trapped in that situation right now.
Noga Tarnopolsky is a freelance reporter based in Israel who writes for the LA Times and the Daily Beast. Noga, thanks so much.
Thanks to you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.